Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to the health segment of our camp meeting. Yesterday, you heard Catherine. She is the Director of Health Ministries, and I am her assistant. We share this burden on our heart. She said she had a burden on her heart for health, and so do I. It's been many, many, many years that the Lord has touched me with that beautiful message, and I have a different testimony than Catherine does, but comes from the same God. Praise the Lord. So I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads with me as we dive into a very interesting topic. Father in heaven, I thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness, your mercies that are new every morning. I pray for an open heart on my part and open hearts on the receivers. For whatever I share, you know, Lord, it's all about you. As we dive into this topic of touch, the importance and the power of it, I just pray we grow to be more appreciative of all that you have given us as a people. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to introduce yourself to those of you who do not know who I am, besides being the assistant health director at the Maritimes Conference. You usually see me up here singing, and you're probably wondering, how does that work out? Well, I come from a background of music. I did my degree in music, and way back in the day, probably won't have to tell you when that was, but I still take music with me because music is just a part of my family and my heritage. And as you know, my children, they all sing, and they don't play instruments, but they sing. And whenever we have family reunions, we always get together, and that's what we spend our time doing, is we sing. We just sing and sing. It's just a beautiful thing, a beautiful tradition, as we were learning about traditions earlier. And so music has just always been such a sweet, sweet part of my life. And I've used it in my ministry, even as a massage therapist. So I had my children with my first husband, and unfortunately that did not work out so well, so I ended up being alone for a few years, and that alone time was the hardest time of my life. I don't think I can think of anything that I suffered more deep than that time of my life. And I just decided to start my life all over again. I moved back to Canada because I was in the States for 16 years, had all my children there, and I came home to my mama with my bags and my children off the train. I never forgot when my mom said she saw me. She just couldn't believe that I was just there, just little frail, scrawny me with my bags and my four children. Well, we made it, and the Lord has been so good to me. And every single experience that we have, it always touches God first. Just remember that. He weighs it. And then he says, okay, now walk with me, and we can do this together. So it's a wake-up call a lot of the times when we go through our tough times. But coming to the health message of my first husband, I remember I didn't know about the health message. Absolutely nothing. I'm fifth generation Adventist, and I've never heard the health message until I was married. 24 years old, never heard it, ever. And I remember my husband went to a seminar. I don't remember the reason why I couldn't attend, but he went to a seminar, a health seminar. He didn't know about the health message either, even though he was second generation Adventist. And he came back home from that seminar, and he just said, we are changing our lives. And I just said, what are you talking about? He just went through all of our kitchen, and he emptied out everything, because everything we had was processed, because that's basically all. I didn't even know how to cook at all. So everything was processed, you know, rice-a-roni and all those things, whatever you do. And he just emptied our fridge, took a big garbage bag, and just threw everything out. And he said, we are going to be eating healthy from now on. And I said, okay, I have no problem with that. Can you explain to me what's going on, though, first? And when he shared with me the principles of health, something in my mind just went bing, like just, it made perfect sense to me. It just made perfect, I don't know why I never heard it. I don't want to blame anybody from the past, but it just made perfect sense to me, because why would a God create us with a plan and then veer off the plan to only bring us back to heaven to the same plan? It doesn't make any sense. So I just said, this makes perfect sense to me. And I took it on 100%. From that moment on, I never went back. You know how some people say, oh, I struggled with, you know, sweets and the chocolate, or I struggled with, like, you know, the meat. And for me, I just said, it makes sense. We're doing it. And that was it. So too bad for me. If I didn't like this and that, I was going to get to like it. So I remember we bought, you know, barley and brown rice and all those wonderful things. We brought them home, and I was just like, how do you cook this? And I just remember putting it on the stove and stirring it up and just watching, because, you know, those things take long, and I'm thinking that it's going to be instant. And I just remember pouring it out on our plates, and we're just like, ooh, yes. I didn't know how to season or anything, so it just tastes like glue, really, honestly. I don't even understand how we made it through the past like few months, but eventually I got cookbooks, which are such a blessing. And I learned what a cup was and a half cup was, and a teaspoon and a tablespoon, even though I messed those up several times, and we made it through. But I wouldn't suggest to anybody to do it that way. Take your time and give up things slowly, and then add something better and learn. Nowadays, we have YouTube. We have websites that give us all kinds of insights on how to prepare food. Praise the Lord. So with that, I just never went back. And the health message has been such a blessing. Actually, it saved my life. I was 24 years old. And I was sick, and I didn't know it until I changed my lifestyle. And I realized, oh, so this is how we're supposed to feel. That's what woke me up. I just said, this is amazing. I can't believe that I've lived 24 years without this message. So from that moment on, it was just boom, straight ahead. I even started doing the natural remedies with my children, and when they got sick, we are not taking Tylenol, we are going to the bathtub. And they were just, my poor children, the hot and cold, and the hot foot baths, and the echinacea, and the golden seal, and it's never failed me. I have to say, with all my mistakes, because, you know, we make mistakes, we just, you know, we don't do it perfectly, God's mercy, just so he covers me. He covered my children, and we made it through. And I have to say, I had four strong children who barely ever got sick, who never ever had any infections or allergies, and grew to be very strong and healthy. And I said, so wow, we could actually live this way. We'd live without eating meat and junk food and soda. That's amazing. Anyways, my family thought I had gone nuts, and they tried to appeal to me and tell me that we were all going to die. But I told her, no, it can't be true, because God has given us a plan, and I'm going to trust him. So I was a little bit crazy for a little while. My family just thought I was nuts. But I'm so thankful that I stuck to my guns and I went forward in the Lord, and I just took on everything that I could learn, canning and freezing and making bread from scratch, and my children in there in the kitchen with me cooking. And it's just such a blessing to bring your family up this way and to learn a new way than the world has. So with that, I started learning how to give natural remedies to other people that were ill and that were suffering, and that became a passion of mine. And I looked into massage, and I didn't know how to do massage, but I just started trying to do it, and I looked in books, and people said that I had a good touch and that I didn't kill them. So I started massaging people who needed help with their neck and their back and their arms and their legs and deep tissue, And then when I did, when all that stuff happened with me and my first husband and I moved back home, that was still my burden. I said, I want to go to school and learn how to do this properly. So I attended school, and it took me an accelerated program. It took me like 2 years or so to complete the whole program. But I remember very specifically, we're talking about the power of touch today, very specifically my teacher saying, when you put your hands on somebody, you have taken over a very sacred trust. That person is very valuable, and they must sense that in your hands. She wasn't a Christian or anything like that, but I really, really took to that. She says, you put your hands on somebody, and they must feel that you care. She says, I know the difference. So what she would make us do, she would teach us how to massage. She would start like, okay, we're going to learn how to massage the hands today or the arms today. And we would have to learn how to do that. So she would show us the movement, but then she would say, okay, now I would like you to do it to me. And as soon as we put our hands on her, she'd say, nope, take your hands off. She goes, I don't feel the love. That's where I got that from. And so I would be like, well, what is she talking about? She says, empty your mind of the method. She goes, I see that you can do the method. She goes, empty your mind and now look at the person as a valuable gift. And so I'd put my hands back on and then I would start. She goes, that was much better. And she would do that with each and every one of us. And so I always kept that in mind, knowing that every single time I touch somebody, put my hands on someone, they are giving me permission, a holy trust, to put my hands on them to heal. And so I take it very seriously. Now when I have clients, I eventually, got clients and I developed my own business, and then I went back to school to do naturopathy. I wanted to incorporate the health message on a whole with my clients, and I did that. And so we would sit, a new client would come in, and we would sit and we would chat for a little bit, and that would not be on my time. So he would be looking at the time, say, don't you have to go? And I said, well, once I get to know you just a little bit, I said, let's sit and talk and tell me a little bit about yourself and tell me why you're here. And that usually would now open the door for us to talk about their health, and sometimes, oh, the Lord would take it to another level. We would talk about the Lord, belief system, their family, their children. And then, I find it so much easier now to minister onto them, because now they're open. They're just open. They now say, okay, this lady cares enough to ask me about my family, and now I'm going to put myself on the table to allow her to help me with my ailments. So a completely different attitude. There are some people who cannot handle being touched. They just can't. You touch them and they are absolutely, they repel you. And you know that's because of some kind of pain, deep-rooted pain. And so it's my ministry to make them feel like I could be trusted with them. So it's very, very, I take it very seriously. It's a very powerful ministry, and I encourage everybody here to get a massage by someone who really cares, because it's very powerful. We're all going. That's a wonderful thing. So that's how massage got into the picture, and I still do it today, and we still take the time. I still take the time with my clients to share with them, and we talk. I would like you guys to take your hands for a moment. I'd like you just to look at them. And I want you to understand how beautiful the sense of touch is. Did you know that just in our fingertips, just look at your fingertips, there are 3,000 touch receptors. Just on our fingertips alone. Apparently, at least from my research, there are 4 million touch receptors in our body. Million. We are very sensitive creatures, and the Lord gave that to us as a gift. He wants us to feel it. Like right now, I feel the wind coming in, those touch receptors are being activated. So imagine when I put my hands on someone. So, this sense is arguably the most underrated of all senses. We often take it for granted, but it is responsible for much in our lives. From feeling the warmth of a loved one, to experience the texture of a fabric, the sense of touch allows you to be in touch with the world around us in a very real way. Apart from being able to figure out whether something is smooth or rough, or hot or cold, touch is also important to convey affection and compassion. Very, very, very important words. This is where I would like to park this afternoon. Yesterday, we were discussing caring for the heart, and today, that touch is very important. I remember we were talking yesterday with Erna that a child who isn't touched will suffer and suffer their whole lives. When we're touch deprived, we can actually suffer from physical, mental, and emotional distress. Touch is essential for survival. It's absolutely essential for survival. The body releases a hormone called cortisol as a response to stress, activating the body's fight or flight response. And this can increase the heart rate, blood pressure, respiration, and muscle tension, and can suppress the digestive system and the immune system, increasing the risk of infection. It has also been said that every single medical disease, including heart attacks and diabetes, hypertension, asthma, every single physical disease is altered if you are more anxious and more going to an extended period without positive physical touch can even lead to post-traumatic stress disorder. When we hug or we feel a friendly touch on our skin, our brains release oxytocin, a neuropeptide involved in increasing positive feel-good sensations of trust, emotional bonding, and social connection while decreasing fear and anxiety responses in the brain at the same time. So two things are happening. We're being built up, and the negative things are being going down. When someone is touch-starved, it's like someone who is starving for food. They want to eat, but they can't. Their psyche and their body want to touch someone, but they can't do it because of the fear associated with it. In this case, like the pandemic, we've experienced and to an extent still experiencing. I am told that the pandemic, as a result of people being touch-starved, has suicide rates over out that are just, you know, rampant. And it's a very sad thing, just from the lack of social interaction. But touch, specifically, is a condition. I mean, being touch-starved is a condition that can actually cause us to be sick and depressed. On the other hand, affectionate touches are thought to reduce stress and anxiety levels and improve learning, language processing, problem solving, and even physical recovery speeds. Affectionate touch may also have the power to improve heart health and reduce the pain felt by people suffering with chronic diseases. Touch can be comforting and reassuring, especially during times of stress or danger. It helps to form relationships by providing physical contact that conveys emotions such as love and care and comfort. This is because touch helps the brain to develop the function and function properly. It can promote nerve growth, increase cognitive ability, and improve learning skills. It is my conviction that Jesus understood these concepts. He created us and knows our frame. As we realize how deeply science reveals these facts, let's turn to God's word now and magnify what Jesus did. One of the most appealing of all Jesus' many attractive qualities was his sympathy for suffering people. We need to have that same sympathy. I don't know if you know anybody who has grown cold to being sympathetic, but it's a very sad condition. When we see somebody suffering, our hearts, because we're linked with Christ, our hearts should automatically open to see how we can relieve them. Because I know that's how Christ felt when he saw suffering. The Bible tells how Jesus, though he was by his very nature divine, did not consider his exalted position as God as someone that he should cling to, but voluntarily gave it up and humbled himself to enter the world as a man. And then he stooped even lower, becoming a servant who spent his entire life attending to the needs of others. Jesus never shrank from human suffering. He was not afraid to get his hands dirty, ministering to the sick and the squalor of this world. He used those hands to reach out and touch suffering people with healing and hope. Did you know that Jesus sang? Did you ever read that in Desire of Ages? I don't know if you ever heard that, read that before, but in Desire of Ages it says that he would be working in the carpentry shop and he would be singing, and his voice and the melody going through the streets, the neighbors would hear and be refreshed. And that's only his voice. He didn't even touch anybody yet. Let's take a closer look at his beautiful character. Matthew 8, verse 1 to 3. This is one of the most, I want to really, really hone in on this because this is one of the most powerful stories that Jesus is involved in. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and what? He did what? A leper? He did what? I just want to make sure we focus on that. Do you know what that means? Back in those days? What happened? What happened back then when you touched a leper? You were considered unclean. But what did Jesus do? He touched him. He didn't have to. Jesus is God. He could have just said, "Be healed." He did it before. He did it, you know, with the daughter, the gentleman there who had the daughter that was sick. He could have just said, "Be well." But he touched the leper. And then it says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Powerful. When he came down from the mountain where Jesus had just finished his famous sermon on the mount, Matthew 5-7, he had been teaching the crowds what it means to live a life that is pleasing to God, and now he is willing and ready to demonstrate the meaning of his own words. As he does, he immediately confronted with an instance of a profound human need. A leper came to him, knelt before Jesus, and asked for healing. Whatever the leper touched was considered unclean. This man seemed to have no doubt about Jesus' ability or power to heal. The only question in the leper's mind had to do with Jesus' willingness. In that time and culture, lepers were the most revolting of all people. Their disease was incurable and produced hideous symptoms. It was a sort of living death. Even worse, lepers were considered impure, unclean, contaminating, and they were segregated from everyone, their family, their friends. They were literally untouchable. The air was polluted with their breath. So there was a real point to the leper's hesitant statement, "Lord, if you will, you will make me clean. If you're willing, you will make me clean." You can almost hear his voice. "If you're willing, make me clean." I'm sure he wasn't expecting Jesus to touch him. Desire of Ages. The man who came to Jesus was full of leprosy. Its deadly poison permeated his whole body. The disciples sought to prevent their master from touching him, for he who touched a leper became himself unclean. But in laying his hand upon the leper, Jesus received no defilement. His touch imparted life-giving power. The leprosy was cleansed, but Jesus, coming to dwell in humanity, receives no pollution. His presence has healing virtue for the sinner. Whoever will fall at his feet, saying in faith, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, shall hear the answer, I will, be thou made clean. What hope! The question comes to you today. Is there hope in our words towards each other? Our facial expressions? Our touch? Or are we in bondage to fear? Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? All this not touching, all of this social distancing is not of God. It's not God's will. It is not. He created us to be social beings. To see how people have suffered because of that, I think it's even worse than COVID itself. Lifelong, there's children that are suffering from not being touched. There's grandparents who died alone. This is not of God. It's just not. And God is calling us to a different calling. I'm going to show you. I know that these things have been unpopular the last 2 years since we've been forbidden to touch each other and we're masking. Question is, I ask you, brothers and sisters, what have we been called to do as messengers of grace? Are we willing to touch the cancer afflicted, the filthy homeless man or woman on the street corner? What about the COVID positive? Are we willing to touch them? I tried it. I was called by my coworker. Her brother was sick with COVID. And she said, can you come and help him? His fever's out, you know, it's just so high and he's coughing and he's moaning. And I said, okay, here it goes. I'm going to go into a COVID house. Alone, even though I'm well, and even though they said I could take it and spread it to my whole family and to my whole entire community, but I went in. Why? Because Jesus has called us to be just like him and to do the work he did. And the Lord blessed. His fever was gone the next day. And he keeps asking for me. He's like that lady that came to the house. Where's she from? Because what I did was I gave him a hot foot bath and I put the cold on his head and I prayed. And I said, I try not to force prayer on people. If people don't want me to pray, I pray in my mind. So I asked, do you mind if I pray for you? He's like, I don't care. That's exactly the way he said it. And I said, okay. And so I took that opportunity and I prayed for him. I prayed for him to be relieved. I prayed that the Lord would bless my efforts because it's not about me at all. I'm not a witch doctor. So I asked the Lord, please use this opportunity to reveal yourself to this young man. And I said those words. And I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And then I was humming little hymns. He doesn't know the hymns, but I was humming as I was changing the water, and he was going, I feel terrible. I said, oh, it's okay, all will be well. And I just continued to pray for him and continued to sing little songs, and we did the hot tub, and I said, now you go and you get into the bathtub, and then you turn on the cold water for 30 seconds. And so he turned on the cold water. I got out of the bathroom so he could get undressed and get into the room. And I just heard him go, ah! For like 30 seconds. I said, it's almost done. And 30 seconds, and he turned it off. And I said, okay, now you get yourself dressed right away, and we're going to put you to bed. And so he got himself dressed. He was able to get himself dressed. And I walked him over to the bed, put him in bed. And within like a minute, he was out. Boom. Sleeping sweet. Now, please understand that this young man, the house that I walked into was absolutely disgusting. Food all over the place. Clothes, dirty clothes all over the place. Toys, because he had a little child, but the child was not there that day, of course, because he had COVID, so he was staying with the mother, wherever the mother is. And just dirt everywhere. And then he has a whole section where he's growing his weed in one section. And so it smelled bad. It had weed smell. And I just said, Lord, protect me by God's grace. But not only did I minister to him, I also helped clean up his place. And this is what the Lord is calling us to do, to get our hands dirty. I don't personally like dirty things. It makes me grossed out. And I just said, Lord, please help me to see past that, get over my stuff, and see the need that he has. And like I said, to this day, he still asks me, that lady came over to my house. I don't even know her. She did this hot thing on my feet, and then she cleaned up my house and keeps asking for me all the time. And the lady that I work with, she keeps thanking me. But I just say, thank God. Just thank God that he's doing better. I did get a cold. I want you to know I'm not perfect, and I did get a cold, but it was just a cold. That's all I got. Did I bring it home to my whole family? No. Did I bring it to my workplace? Nope. Because God is good. I think I got a cold more from the bacteria in the house than I did from anything else. But this is what it's all about. This is what ministry is all about. Okay. Jesus' response was immediate and dramatic. He stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus says, I will. That's how he is with us. I will, be thou clean. He wants to cleanse us right away, especially from sin. That touch of Jesus was almost more eloquent than his words. In its own way, it said as much as the great sermon that went before it on the Mount. We ought to ponder the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ actually stretched out his hand and touched a leper. And in doing so, he healed him. That was almost impossible back in those days. Okay. I'd like you to read these three quotes with me. Can you do that? Okay. We have come to a time when every member of the church should take hold of medical missionary work. The next one. The medical missionary work should be a part of the work of every church in our land. The next one. Soon, there will be no work done in ministerial lines but medical missionary work. So you may ask, what is this thing called medical missionary work? I'll tell you what it is. It's doing the work of Christ through the power and guidance of his Holy Spirit, combining teaching and healing. How can we do this work? Let's read. Let our people show that they have a living interest in medical missionary work. Let them prepare themselves for usefulness by studying the books that have been written in these lines. Those who study and practice these principles will be greatly blessed, both physically and spiritually. Is there a spiritual component to medical missionary work? I like to call it gospel medical missionary work. We can't forget the gospel, because the gospel is about healing the whole being. This is the work of Christ. And guess what is required to be a medical missionary? Guess what is required? That beautiful sense of touch. Matthew 4, verse 23. And he, Jesus, went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Every disease. Does anybody know what kind of diseases they had in Jesus' day? Pretty much the same thing. Leprosy. But they had others. From what I understand, the same diseases that we have today were very much present back then. But he went about healing them all. Healing, and it says afflicted souls as well. So people that were afflicted with mental illness, people that were hurting in all kinds of ways, not just the disease, but this is what we are called to do. A couple of months ago, let's examine a few other instances where Jesus used touch to bring healing. Peter's mother-in-law, who lay sick with a fever, and he came and what did he do? He took her by the hand. Always that connection. Took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. A man who was deaf and mute, taking him aside, he put his finger into his ears. I always go, ooh. And he spat and touched his tongue. I don't know if they'd allow that COVID days, but I'm just thinking to myself, that's personal. Is that personal? In his ears and touched his tongue. And he looked up to heaven and sighed and said, be opened. Be open, just like parting the Red Sea. Be open. Boof, boof. Just be opened. I marvel at God's mercy. I just marvel at it. What about the case of the blind man? And some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and when he had spit, how much bacteria do we have in our mouth? I don't remember, but he spit on his eyes and laid his hands upon him and said, do you see anything? What do you think? What about the boy tormented by demonic epileptic seizures who convulsed and lay as dead? But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I love that part, and he arose. What about the young girl who was lying dead? Jesus, taking her by the hand, said, Talitha kumi, little girl, get up. And she did. Jesus not only touched suffering people who needed healing, as described in all those examples I just read from the Gospels, he also touched struggling people who needed help. Think of Peter sinking in the sea as he tried to walk to Jesus across the water. What did Jesus do? What does it say? Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Remember, Jesus doesn't have to do any of this. He's God. He could say, and it will happen, but he always touched. He always touched. That communication with touch is powerful and healing. Or picture Jesus as he gathered the little children in his arms, it says, and blessed them. In his arms, he's cradling the children and blessing them. He could have just blessed them from a distance. Nope. He took them in his arms. Oh, powerful Savior. He also allowed himself to be touched by those who needed to touch him. Those whose contact would ceremonially defile him in the eyes of the law. There was the sick woman who once reached out to him in a passing crowd because she thought If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She was right. He noticed, and he acknowledged it. Another time, a woman with a shady past came to Jesus at a banquet and expressed her gratitude for his forgiveness by washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. The woman's actions could have put Jesus in a very bad light. After all, she was a notorious sinner. Letting down her hair, washing, kissing, embracing, and anointing his feet was a serious breach of property. However, he allowed her. He allowed her. The woman's kissing of Jesus' feet was a striking expression of affection. And then there was Thomas, the disciple who doubted Jesus' resurrection. Jesus allowed Thomas to touch him, and all his doubts vanished. See, we need to be healed in every way, and we need to be touched. Now, I'm not talking about inappropriate touch here. Please don't get me wrong. That's not what Jesus did, and that's not what Jesus was about. He was about contact, compassion, healing. Jesus also allowed John to lay upon his breast. I love that one. It says, the one whom Jesus loved was reclining at his side. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. He washed their feet. Did you know that was unheard of a teacher? To stoop down and be in the dirt to wash each other, to wash other people's feet. That was unheard of. But he touched them, washing their feet. He washed their feet. And I'm sure they were pretty dirty. Touch is redemptive. It has the capacity to break the hardest of hearts. As a massage therapist, I have had a few clients cry as I massage them. Sometimes people just need to know that they're cared about. And when we touch somebody, it can either convey the wrong message or it can convey the love of Jesus. We have many, many hurting people out there that need to be touched. Jesus reached out his hand and touched not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually as well. But why did Jesus touch all these people, and particularly the leper who appealed to him for help? Jesus didn't have to touch people, as I said, to make them well. Jesus could have, you know, just healed them with a simple word. He didn't even have to even be present to heal them. So why did he touch this particular man, the man with leprosy, with all his horrible features and associations? Because leprosy stands for the disease of sin. That's why I think that story stands out, and it's such and such detail. It stands for the leprosy of sin. Because Jesus himself is pure, and both incontaminable and incontaminate, when we are in Christ, living in him and allowing him to work through us, we are clean in him. For in him, health overcame sickness. In him, purity overcame defilement. In him, life overcame death. So, how do I take this powerful principle into my work? How do you take this powerful principle into your daily lives? Ask God. He's there. The Holy Spirit will impress you as to if somebody just needs a hand on the shoulder, or if they need a hug, or if they need a touch of the hand, or if they need a massage. He will lead and guide you if you listen to him. I ask the Lord, this is what I ask him before I massage. I ask him to help me to be sensitive to my client's needs. And then I ask him to put his hands on top of my hands and guide them to bring comfort and healing and relief. I always play soft hymns, soft songs. Sometimes I put on nature just for them to listen to birds singing. Sometimes I put on raindrops or waterfalls with soft music playing just so that they can understand that they are valued. Jesus wants us to understand how valuable we are to him, how special and unique each and every one of us is, and how deep of a connection he desires to have with us. To make someone feel that God's love through our touch has the ability to break down barriers and walls like nothing else has. God is calling each and every one of us to touch someone in need. There are people starving, just starving to be touched, even by a handshake. If you just want a handshake, just even in your handshake, someone can tell whether you are genuine. Have you ever touched, you know, had a handshake that was just like this feeble kind of, oh, hi, type thing? I always tell them, I'm giving you a handshake. Give me your hand. I would like us to do something now if we could. We could just divide up into three or groups of three or four. I'd like us to pray on these three things. That God would remove whatever walls may be there that would keep us from spreading the gospel medical missionary work that we need to have, that we need to be, the medical missionaries that we need to be, any walls that may be up, any fears that are there. Number two, that God would give us wisdom in dealing with others, because not everyone's the same. There are some people you cannot touch, and you need to respect that. They're not ready, but maybe you need to just cry with them. Maybe you just need to say nothing. Maybe you just need to listen. Maybe you need to offer to clean their house. Maybe you need to offer to walk their dog, or to run down the hall to get something for them, or to run down the hall to just simple things, to run in just any chance we get to reveal Christ. Please pray over that. And number three, that he would give us the courage through the Holy Spirit to touch those who need the healing touch of Jesus. Be courageous. It'll be okay because God's got your back. He wants us to be medical missionaries for a reason, because in that is the gospel. So can we separate together in threes and fours and just pray over these things together, if that's okay? Just take the next few minutes and then I'll end with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this powerful health message that you've given us as a people. We ask for forgiveness for not taking it to the world like we need to. I pray that we would be inspired through the Holy Ghost to take on what you have given us, not only in our own lives and the lives of our families, but to take it to each and every person that we meet. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be loving. Help us to be kind. Help us, Father, to have the Spirit of Christ. And help us to see beyond what we see, but give us the eyes of Christ, the mind of Christ, that we may be able to minister in your lines. In Jesus' precious name, amen.